denizens of the Imperium. I bid you all greetings for this most harrowing of sermons. Quite sadly, we are all far too aware of the existential threat which chaos poses upon our humble lives. Ever since the dark days of the Horus heresy, the many worlds of man have been preyed upon by the traitorous forces of the Chaos Space Marines, who have pledged their eternal souls to the ruinous powers, all in the hopes that they may rise to a new plane of power from their atrocious actions. But unfortunately, it is not just from the material armies of chaos which we must contend with. The hellish swirling of the warp hides within it, an endless legion of demons who have been formed as the minor scions to the dark gods themselves, and they exist simply to bring about the damnation of the sentient species of the galaxy. No world is truly safe, and there is nowhere to hide when your home has become the target of a demonic incursion. Even if you think yourself as safe within your fortified bunker, the Neverborn Hellspawn will simply tear their way out of unreality to tear your very soul from your horrified corpse before turning upon all that you hold dear. Ever since the cataclysmic conclusion of the 13th Black Crusade and with the formation of the Great Rift, these demonic invasions have become ever more common throughout the Imperium, and our great armies are embroiled within an endless crusade to banish the malign legions of immaterial warriors back to the Stygian hell from whence they came. With that being said, today's story shall focus upon a single incursion, which unfortunately could not be repelled before it claimed the entire world. This is a most dark and terrible tale of loss, and so I invite you all to steel yourselves against the horrors which you are about to hear. The Geistos Cataclysm was a truly devastating conflict, brought about by a major incursion of hellish demonic forces upon the imperial agri-world of Geistos. This unholy intrusion occurred during the early years of the 41st millennium, and unfortunately, it turned this nondescript planet into naught but an otherworldly battlefield. The once pristine fields of swaying corn were reduced to decayed bogs of blood-soaked muck as the Hellspawn tore their way into this plane of reality, with only a desperate thirst for souls on their mind. It was not only the demons which brought this world to ruin, however. As we are to soon learn of how the Imperial agents sent to banish this incursion were forced to make the most impossible of decisions during this unquestionably dire of times. You must remember that the first sparks of chaos may appear in even the most humble and unassuming of places. If they are not stamped out with righteous indignation, then they will rapidly blossom into smoldering embers before finally igniting into an inferno of heretical worship. It is from this crashing storm that the demonic entities of the warp will emerge, and rest assured, they will seek out nothing less than our vicious deaths and ultimate destruction. Upon the world of Geistos, the tinder which first caught a blaze was to be found within the simple mind of but a child. An abattoir worker, no older than 12 summers, had lived an ordinary life of hard labor in the name of the Emperor. His modest life should have remained on a fairly straightforward path, with each day being greeted by work and each night with a well-earned rest. As he grew older, he would one day start a family of his own with an administratum-assigned partner before bringing a new generation of loyal servants into the world. After an untroublesome life, he would have been laid to rest, having followed through with a fulfilling existence of providing the great bounty of nutrition to his surrounding star systems. Unfortunately, however, this was not to be the destiny of the fated child. Under the heat of the bright midsummer's sun, the young worker became afflicted with a series of terrible headaches, Whilst these started mild, they would invariably progress into migraines, which were nothing short of debilitating to the boy. When he closed his eyes, bracing himself against the pain, he could shut out the world, and yet he would hear an unfamiliar voice. This started as but a soft whisper, but it would grow into a cacophonous screech, which called out to his very soul in nondescript babbles of a language which he had never encountered throughout his short life. Though he was young, he had been told stories, meant to frighten him as a child, of those who would choose to consort with unseen forces. His mother would tell him of how these errant souls would commit strange rituals to contact the beyond, but that the forces of the Imperium would always be swift and righteous in isolating and removing these estranged elements from the world's surface. As such, he'd become instilled with a deep fear of ever acting out in such a way that would make him appear to have falsely joined in with one of these aberrant groups. Because of this, he knew that if he were to ever confess to his overseer that he was suffering from migraines accompanied by a strange voice, then he would risk being sent far away to a place where he would never see his family, his friends, nor his home ever again. On the fateful day of the cataclysm occurring, the young boy had been tasked with transporting many of the larger, more vital pieces of machinery out from storage into the belly of the abattoir. With the sun at its apex, he was burdened by a particularly ferocious headache, which was so piercing that his ability to work was crippled, and he was simply unable to fulfill his daily duties. The overseer, seeing his shambolic performance, pulled him aside and began to beat the boy relentlessly. The youngling had a job to do, and who else could work the blood machines if not the smallest of children? He had a duty, and he would not let any avoid their daily toil without a thrice-approved declaration of leave. The boy, shielding himself from the lashings of his maniacal overseer, began to scream. He withstood blow after blow, and yet, deep within, he felt his mind twist and contort against the pain. The belligerent ramblings which had been plaguing him for so long began to rise in tone, until he could no longer hear his own savage torment, only their alluring and enticing words. Though he had long been subjected to the strange ravings, for but a brief instant, he finally understood a single statement spoken to him. He heard the voices state that all he had to do was to allow an entity to speak a phrase through him, and that all of his pains would stop henceforth. Amidst the tremendous agony, he could not even think to breathe. He thought not of his family nor of his duty to the Imperium, but all he sought was to be free from his overseer's endless torture. Finally, he relented and uttered out a sentence in a language beyond his own. He knew not of what he said, nor of how he even said it, but the words were spoken, and reality responded in kind. First, the air itself began to crackle with an unknown force, with their surroundings taking on an ominous, shimmering sensation, almost as if they had been submerged beneath crashing waters. The overseer, rattled by this sudden change, stopped his beatings and let the boy drop to the ground. Stumbling away, he trembled and stared out in panicked bewilderment around his abattoir for the final pathetic moments of his life. Seconds after it was uttered, reality shattered. The weight of the immaterium pressing itself against real space was simply too great of a burden to shoulder, and the barrier between our world and the next broke, allowing the warp to flow through it like a great crack in a dam. The first to emerge were the flies. The words which the boy had spoke materialized in a strange swirling of energy before coalescing into a vast swarm of thousands of bloated and oozing poxflies. In but a moment, they filled the building, surrounding the remaining workers and deafening them with their maddening whines. The malign pests of Nurgle forced themselves down the orifices of the overseer, filling his lungs and stomach with the slimy, bristled insectoids, which rapidly began to decompose and consume his flesh from within. The boy was lifted into the air by thousands of the buzzing and distended flies, which enshrouded his body within their putrescent haze. As they careened through the air and scurried about his frame, the droning whine of their wings began to take on a regular hum, which reverberated itself throughout the entirety of the building. None in the abattoir were graced with enough time to properly examine the flies, but as a rather grim sight, they each bore the face of the boy. His uttering of the curse had bound himself to this ritual, and his visage had been forever imprinted upon the first of these hatching demonic pests. But despite his involvement, the boy was not destined to be spared from the looming disaster. He had no special place within the cataclysm, and so with a sickening pop, the farmhand was opened up in a flower of gore. With his death, the cacophony of flies had reached its climax, and the chant of Nurgle had allowed for the crack in reality to break into an immense gaping wound, which invited the endless tides of demons to enter into reality at their own gleeful will. Meanwhile, outside of the abattoir, other workers had heard of the maddened commotion and were drawn towards the building after witnessing a dazzling array of strange lights shimmering from within. They were sadly being drawn towards naught but their own deaths, however. When the first of the flies began to emerge, some of the more sensible of workers fled in terror, having never seen insects that large or decayed. Plague bearers were quick to follow, and they burst through the feeble walls where they stood as moldy and noxious humanoids, colored in a sickening mix of grayish greens and putrid browns, with mottled spots of necrosed blacks pocking their loose skin. As they trudged through the fields, they left behind a trail of foul gases and toxic ichor, which seemed to melt the very ground beneath them, causing the plant life to simply wither and die into a pathetic bog of putrefaction. These walking creatures of plague were accompanied by hundreds of bubbling Nurglings, which bounced and hopped along at their feet with a truly exuberant sense of joy. Some would cartwheel or roll themselves down the small hillocks, whilst others were busying themselves with tasting the delectable swamps of plague, which were rapidly manifesting all across the landscape. Like a gangrenous hub, the farm became a center of disease. A virulent condition known as the black pox quickly spread out from this area, and such was its potency that all who were unfortunate enough to come into contact with it would rapidly succumb to the contagion. It only took a few short hours for the symptoms to begin to manifest. Victims would begin to hack up foamy black wads of what used to be their lungs, whilst their skin would rot and peel away, revealing crawling tides of worms and maggots, which would pop and burst in a small explosion of carrion ichor. As the affliction progressed, those unfortunate civilians would aimlessly walk out from their homes, with their ailing condition only growing more severe with each passing moment. Striding outwards, they would continue to roam despite their bodies putrefying and decaying until they eventually started to simply fall apart with a haze of the foul flies of Nurgle burrowing out from their addled corpses. From here, the pox flies would rise high up into the skies before traveling across the world as a vast swarm, ready to infect even more of the damned populace to a fate worse than death. This spread continued throughout the horrifying night, with villages and hamlets succumbing to their newfound, putrid reality. By dawn, most of the surrounding life in the area had either been reduced into a mass of wriggling black sludge, festering with maggots and flies, or they had been transformed into poxwalkers, which endlessly marched out towards the other centers of life, all to spread the foul gift of Nurgle to his new children. Thankfully, the planetary defense forces of this world were quick to respond to the outbreak. Almost the entirety of the enlisted men and women of their armed forces were deployed to contain the rapidly spreading tide of demons. In addition to the guardsmen, Geistos was fortunate enough to be the home of an ecclesiarchal garrison of the fabled and legendary Adepta Sororitas. As such, a sacred contingent of the holy warriors was convened, and after blessing their weaponry, they emerged to purify their planet and to excise any demonic entities back into the void of the warp. With fire and faith, the combined imperial forces pushed back against the otherworldly tide, and whilst the Neverborn failed to relent, they were expunged from the surrounding landscapes until all that remained was the tainted farmstead. With a justifiably excessive use of promethium warheads, the Sisterhood reduced the farm into little more than an ashy crater, with there being no traces left of the hellish portal which once existed there. Whilst this was most assuredly warranting for celebrations by the Imperial forces, the denizens of the warp were less than pleased at the turn of events. The warp rift had been sealed, and there was nothing but a faint haze where the original portal had opened. Though the powers of the gods are truly unmatched within the Immaterium, even Nurgle himself was not confident in his abilities to tear open the vestigial remains of this gateway. And he certainly was not willing to watch more of his offspring meet their fiery end. As such, the disgruntled god of plague and pestilence petitioned his siblings to join him in this cause of eradicating all life from Geistos. Zeench naturally ignored his rival's pleas and returned to work on the thousands of abstruse and mysterious plans which required the utmost supervision. Korn, however, was all too happy to join in with the coming carnage of battle, and so he temporarily pledged his power towards Nurgle. Slaanesh mused on the invitation and chose to simply recline back in their great palace of pleasure, where the Dark Prince would wait to watch this great play unfurl before committing the decadent legions to war. Nevertheless, the power of another god was something which Nurgle was certainly not going to pass up on. Between the two of them, the Plague Father and the Lord of Skulls came together and ripped reality asunder once more, this time producing a gaping rift which spanned the entirety of the Agri complex, dwarfing the meek gateway which previously only existed within the small farmstead. With the emergence of this new great rift, demons could now tear their way into reality within large groups, rather than being confined as the plodding singletons which had previously been encountered. In addition to the legions of lesser fiends, there were also several greater demons who had pledged themselves to the terminable conflict. Mighty gore-soaked bloodthirsters screeched as they flew out onto the planet, bore upon the skies by their huge, leathery, bat-like wings. The monstrous demons crashed down onto the world's surface in a wreath of hellish flames, before relentlessly charging outwards into the Imperial lines, with an otherworldly sense of rabidity towards claiming as many skulls for Korn as they could. Meanwhile, bloated and hulking, great unclean ones were also in the process of waddling out of the vast portal. Their putrescent guts spilled outwards from their gaping stomach wounds, which stained and tainted the very ground itself as they dragged their immense carcasses across the landscape. With each step, they belched and coughed out new plagues, which would spread out across the world, forever tainting it with the foul touch of Nurgle's rot. With their great armies, the twin forces of the two gods proceeded to sweep their way through the imperial lines, utterly crushing any meager resistance which they could find. Whilst the defensive armies may have appeared resilient and hardy before, they now felt particularly under-equipped and incapable of fending off the combined might of the demons. The deep trenches were soon awash with a murky mix of blood and pestilent rot, which flowed out from the relentless trudging of the Neverborn as they effortlessly cut through the meek defenders. As the forces of Nurgle advanced, the Black Pox returned. Citizens of the planet, kept in safe zones on the other side of the world, were once again subjected to the absolute horror of the Plague Father's finest creation. The streets were once again filled with half-dead hordes of malignant patients, coughing up swarms of pox flies, which crawled and wriggled out from their decayed lungs, only to spread outwards, infecting all who they came across, and drawing ever more demons towards the cities with their incessant buzzing. Within the fortified bunkers of the capital city, the planetary governor looked out in horror at the unprecedented carnage unfolding within his streets. The glass dome of his personal dwellings were slick with the putrescent slime of maggots crawling their way up to find whatever entry they could, sensing the presence of healthy, uninfected life within. It would not be long until they broke through, at which point they would treasure the succulent bounty of life by gracing the governor with the great gifts of Nurgle, whether he was receptive or not. The man knew that the fate of this planet was likely sealed, and that despite his relative safety within the fortress, that he too would soon be consumed by the growing tides of plague. As such, in an act of desperation, he ordered for his astropaths to send out a hymn of distress, with a prayer that the forces of the Imperium would hear his call for aid. Thankfully for the governor, his cries for help did not go unanswered. The fortress monastery of the Vorpal Swords chapter of the noble Astartes received his astropathic plea and quickly dispatched a fully assembled task force to purge the demonic filth from Geistos once and for all. The Astartes descended onto the planet en masse, striking like a bolt of lightning against the ocean of the Neverborn. Bursting out from their numerous drop pods and deploying out of Thunderhawk gunships, the tactical squads rapidly moved into defensive positions to bolster the ravaged Imperial forces from the overwhelming attacks of demons. Though the veteran sisters of battle were holding fast and true against the Hellspawn, the same could not be said for the Planetary Guard. Untold thousands of guardsmen and women had fallen prey to the lurching horrors, and it was very much doubtful that they would have survived to this point without the aid of the Holy Sisterhood. But nevertheless, the presence of the Emperor's own angels provided a much-needed reprieve to the dogged defenders. Tech Marines set up their great fortifications, from which Devastator squads mounted their heavy weaponry before levying great volleys of retributive fire into the immaterial hordes. Land speeders screamed as they darted across the battlefield, unleashing torrents of rounds from their assault cannons, banishing many more of the demons. But even with their great efforts, it all seemed to be in vain. Though the newly bolstered Imperials found some success against the demonic legions, the planet seemed to already be lost. the entire populace had succumbed to the highly virulent black pox, which had blossomed to a point where it was simply too infectious to avoid. The world was long past the point of containment, and even if every demon was to be expunged, the risk of contracting this most deadly of diseases was too great to justify remaining here, and it was truly doubtful that the planet could ever recover from the magnitude of this plague. In addition, there was no medical facility across the entirety of the Imperium which could possibly save the sheer volume of humans who had been brought low by the disease. It was quickly becoming clear to the Imperial commanders that their retributive mission of purging Geistos would be a fool's errand, and that they should re-strategize to save the surviving veterans of this horrific conflict. As reality continued to break, it was no longer simply plague and blood which burst forth from the warp, as Nurgle had finally struck an accord with the god of excess, Slaanesh. The demons of pulchritude emerged in a horde of such numbers that they dwarfed the Imperial defenders by an impossible factor. Daemonet's riding seekers sprang out to chase the fleeing defenders throughout the pestilent ruins of the world. Meanwhile, the towering entities known as Keepers of Secrets gracefully strode out from the warp before quickly falling into the heavy defensive fortifications, crushing and tearing their way through the sacred tanks and armaments of the Astartes. Despite the newfound aggression coming about from the new Slaaneshi incursion, the battle was still locked in somewhat of a stalemate. Even the overwhelming forces of the demons could not break the indefatigable will of the Imperial defenders, and their fortifications remained as a stoic bulwark against the endless tides. Nevertheless, do not mistake this as being a salvageable situation for the survivors. Despite their faithful tenacity, the demons were simply too numerous to be utterly dispelled back to the warp, and it was soon becoming more and more doubtful that they would be able to survive the coming onslaught for even another day. As the battle raged on, Khorne looked down onto the planet with a sense of unbridled fury. How dare Nurgle bring that unscrupulous harlot Slaanesh into this conflict? Enraged at seeing his rival god shouldering into what he saw as being his own war, he resolved to finally bring about the end of this incursion by his own hand. He rose from his great brass throne of skulls, taking up his legendary blade, and with but a single slash, he carved a bloody wound through the tattered skies of Geistos. Through this gargantuan tear came a gushing and torrential wave of boiling blood, which splashed down onto the planet, washing away Imperial defenders and demon kin alike. Eventually, this wave subsided, leaving only the strongest of cornate demons standing tall above its swell, with the lesser swarms of Nurglite and Slaaneshi entities having been banished by the Skull God's great powers. The vast majority of surviving mortals had similarly been swept away, drowning beneath the crashing ocean of blood, but there were some who were strong enough to stand fast against its tides. The forces of the noble Space Marines, enclosed within their venerable suits of power armor, were able to withstand this otherworldly torrent, and they stood resolute above the blood, ready to continue their fight in the name of the God Emperor. By this point, the planet had begun to resemble the great blood machines within the abattoirs which harbored the first sparks of this demonic outbreak. A thick layer of bubbling and scalding blood spread out across the entire world, and only the ruined defensive fortifications seemed to have retained the structural integrity to stand tall, sticking out into the tumultuous skies, making Geistos seem like it was some kind of wounded and bloody pufferfish. Clusters of skulls rained down from the skies, screaming praises to Khorne as they splashed down into the new sanguine oceans of the world. The few scattered remnants of Imperial Guard forces who had managed to survive the onslaught were driven to utter madness at the sight of this impossibly horrific reality which they found themselves in. Many simply decided to take their own lives, whereas others were compelled to turn on their brothers in arms, hopelessly consumed by the thought that if they claimed a bounty of skulls themselves, that they may be saved from Khorne's fury. The surviving forces of the Vorpal Blades knew that this situation was untenable. They could not conscionably damn their chapter by bringing more Astartes down to meet their doom, and there was no chance that the remaining vestiges of the initial strike force could ever hope to meet success this day. As such, the presiding captain knew that there was only one recourse to take, and so he reluctantly called for the final defense against demons. They sent out an astropathic summon to the Grey Knights, the mysterious hunters of the Neverborn who were the most adept and skilled in banishing the forces of the warp. The captain knew that if any could halt this incursion, that it could only be done from the fabled troops of this most hidden chapter. Strike squads and purgation units materialized around the defenders, unleashing torrents of flames and psi-rounds into the unending hordes, granting the touch of true death to the endless demons. Meanwhile, mighty paladins clad in their sacred Terminator armor appeared, casting bolts of psychic energies to expunge the foul taint of the Neverborn from this blasted world. The Grey Knights found great success in banishing the demonic forces around the ruins of the capital, but even with their unparalleled abilities, they too saw this battle as being futile. With a heavy heart and a grim sense of duty, the commanding inquisitor of this strike force recalled the Grey Knights and sent out an order of retreat to the surviving forces of the Space Marines. Whilst the mysterious knights could simply teleport back to their battle barge, the Astartes were forced to board the numerous Thunderhawks and escape crafts, which thankfully proved to be their final saving grace. Many of their battle brothers had died during this deployment, and rather sadly it seemed that their precious gene seed would be relegated to simply burn. The presiding inquisitor had made his final decision and issued the decree of exterminatus to be levied upon the doomed world. Ordinarily, this would condemn all Imperial life on the planet to death. However, in this case, there were no survivors left on Geistos. All had been killed, and there were none but demons left to roam upon its blighted surface. The immaterial forces of the warp had achieved some semblance of victory, but for claiming the Agri world, they would be given no quarter for their foul and terrible incursion. The planet was utterly scoured by cyclonic torpedoes and virus bombs, which reduced the surface down to nothing but ash. The demonic portal at the heart of the Agri complex was closed under the weight of heavy ordnance, and the entire immaterial army was banished back to the warp, forcing the lesser hellspawn to return to their patron gods with naught but skulls and the torturous truth that they had failed. This incursion had lasted but a few short months. From the time of a young child suffering through a series of growing headaches, to an ocean of boiling blood drowning a doomed world, to the entire planet finally meeting its fiery and destructive end. After all that had occurred here, Geistos was left as nothing but a barren husk of ash and rock. Deep within the immaterial hellscape of the warp, the gods licked their wounds and assessed the result of their otherworldly invasion. Nurgle was most displeased with his failure. You cannot subject an empty world, bereft of life with the great gift of plague. And so this whole endeavor suddenly seemed to have been naught but a waste of his time. he bitterly resigned himself back to his great gardens and began to once again mix up his bubbling concoctions with an aim to brew up a series of new foul and terrible diseases to inflict upon the galaxy. Korn sat back upon his throne, absolutely fuming with limitless rage at being cheated out of a legendary battle. Some of his greatest champions had descended onto Geistos, but rather than engaging in glorious and honorable combat, they were banished by a disgraceful orbital bombardment. Nevertheless, even as he stewed in anger, his servants had still recovered a hefty bounty of skulls and souls, so this was not an entirely worthless mission. Slaanesh, meanwhile, returned to recline within their great palace of pleasure. Though the Dark Prince was similarly irate that they could not relish in the excess of conquest, the entire conflict was not one which was particularly appealing to begin with. Being forced to share a battlefield with the truly disgusting dregs of Nurgle, along with the unkempt warriors of Korn, was less than favorable, so the end to this incursion was but a mild annoyance to the Prince of Pleasure. Tsinch simply watched. The changer of ways looked out of their great library, spying their fellow gods bickering and squabbling as they committed their great legions down upon but one simple world. Despite their rationalizations and justifications, the three gods had lost this battle and had very little to show for it. In seeing this, Tsinch sat back in their throne and let loose an impossibly wide smile. Just as planned. Dearest of citizens, this shall bring us to the end of our dark tale. Though this story may seem to be most extreme, with the four gods taking such a keen interest in but a single world, it is not actually as rare of an occurrence as you may believe. Geistos was not alone in being targeted by the foul forces of the demons, as each year countless worlds are lost to the warp-born horrors who would seek out nothing but the consumption of our sacred and graceful souls. Some of you may be rightfully wondering as to whether or not this scenario could have been averted, or if it was inevitable for the planet to fall under the weight of chaos. In truth, perhaps there could have been an alternate ending if an appropriate response was levied quickly enough. The young abattoir worker clearly possessed some latent psychic ability, and he should not have been left to his own devices with such potent and terrible potential within him. In an ideal world, he may have been identified and recruited into one of the many psionic branches of the Imperium, where he could have served mankind as perhaps an astropath or as a sanctioned psyker upon a battlefield. With that being said, however, the agents of the Inquisition should have discovered and removed this boy from the farmstead, potentially taking him away in their dreaded black ships, where his psychic abilities could be used to fuel the Imperium in a more tangible way. Alas, he was not to be found. And so his latent connection to the warp led to the complete downfall and destruction of this once salubrious world. I urge you all to remain vigilant against the ever-present threats of the warp, but you must remember that the taint of chaos can appear in even the most humble and unassuming of places. With this, I shall bid you all farewell and hope that you have a most pleasant and peaceful day.